the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good evening. This is the Prime Evening News for today. I'm your presenter, Richie Ferrol. Here are the headlines. Pastor and President of the DAEC, Randy Rodney, says, open quote, "When people get to where they think there is use for prayer without a relationship with God for the purpose of setting up their own agenda, that is frightening," end of quote. Turks and Caicos Island ends its financial year on a positive cash footing, but government's fourth quarter financial report shows while revenue was higher than projected, the cruise industry is needed for full economic recovery. And at least one person was killed and several others were injured early on Thursday after a 12-story surfside residential building partially collapsed in southern Florida's Miami-Dade County, authorities say. These are our headlines. The news brought to you compliments West Indies Communications Enterprise Limited. First stop in the news. Open quote, "When people come to a place where they think there is a need for prayer without a relationship with God for the purpose of setting one's own agenda, that is frightening," end of quote. This comes from Pastor and President of the DAEC, Randy Rodney, in response to a question posed to him, open quote, "Do you think there is a political agenda in the church?" end of quote. He says this effort in trying to make God the errand boy by telling God what they think should be done is one that is similar to Saul in the Bible, who decided to take on the spiritual title and take action, which in many cases was opposing to what God declared, simply to fulfill his own agenda.
When people come to a place where they think that there's a need for prayer without a relationship with God, very often from my experience as a pastor and from my read of scripture and from what I've seen in other places, it is because the individuals feel that there is a need. And when they feel there's a need, it means that they feel that they have wronged God, they have walked away from God, they have not followed God in what that they should do. And so they try to make God the errand boy, the message boy, and they try to cajole God around and tell God what they want to be done. And my concern when it's done from a national perspective is what the scripture speaks about when Saul put on the regalia of the priest, because Saul would not even wait for Samuel, who was the priest at the time. Saul put on the regalia of the priest, he put on the mantle of the priest and began to do the work of the priest. And as a consequence of Saul doing the work of the priest, the nation of Israel suffered and suffered immensely. Saul, when that worked or didn't work as he wanted to, Samuel dies, and Saul, again as king, goes ahead and evokes Samuel's spirit because he is looking for God's power to do what he wants to do. And may I just tell you, in both cases, what he wanted to do was contrary to what God wanted.
Randy says, open quote, "Obedience is better than sacrifice," end of quote, as we continue to fail to obey God in the order God has set.
And the thought that came from the first scripture is, obedience is better than sacrifice. And what we see happening, what I personally see happening, is that we fail to obey God in the order that God has set, because we want to set our own agenda, our own order, to accomplish our own purposes. And from a pastoral viewpoint, that is frightening.
Pastor and President of the DAEC, Randy Rodney. Speaking on the Roots Connections on Q program, hosted by Dr. Simone Matthew on Q95 last night, program officer at the UWI Open Campus and treasurer At the Dominica Olympic Committee, Dr. Barry Casimir gave a comprehensive outline of the flaws in the Caribbean National Assessment Examination for secondary school enrollment programs.
The fact of the matter is that the last system, which was the common entrance, what happened is that I found it limited a lot of students, particularly from the low-income background. So what you have, basically, students who actually had resources, computers, able to travel more, able to adapt better for the common entrance. That will help in terms of their writing skills, also help in terms of their creativity, right? But the new system has allowed for greater access for wider pool of students. But not much has changed, because still the students who come from higher income and middle class families are still going to be the top students more often than not. So what the system has done basically is actually take the middle class and upper class students and put them in the better school systems. So more often than not, the scholarships are going to convent for girls. Scholarship boys are going to SME for boys. Traditionally, those schools are generally top schools in Dominica.
Dr. Barry Casimir explained that not much has changed when the results generated from common entrance is compared with the new national assessment process.
So what the new system has done is basically put in a selection process for the top students to go to the best schools. So not much really has changed, except that greater access, you have greater access for students. What we also have generally is that a lot of students are not at the level where they're supposed to be from first form. So more has to be done at the preschool level and also at the primary level. So when they get to the secondary level, the teachers have, it's a lot easier for the teachers to work with the students that they have.
Program officer at the UWI Open Campus in Dominica and treasurer of the DOC, Dr. Barry Casimir. You're tuned in with Q95 News. Microbiologist and DFP leader Bernard Ito exposes the partisan behavior of some DLP leaders and their diehard staff who have attempted to blind the eyes of the citizenry and paint the parliamentary opposition parties as enemies of the state and anti-progressive. Ito emphasized that effective economic progress does not occur without the submissions and recommendations and critics of opposition parties in a democratic society. He spoke on Q95 FM radio recently.
The opposition is viewed as an enemy of the government, and that is the positioning that the current administration has deliberately constructed, because it's easy to get people to toe the line if they believe that the other side is in fact an enemy and a detriment to their existence, almost at an existential level. And so, unfortunately, our democracy has been sacrificed on electoral wins in the process of doing everything to win elections by creating enmity, by creating painting the opposition as radicals, and painting the opposition as enemies of the state. Enemies of the society to win elections. Grave harm has been done to our social solidarity and our governance structures and our democracy. And so that is one of the things that is unfortunate. And I think the COVID pandemic shows that the government is not truly interested in collaboration with other parties.
Microbiologist and DFP leader Bernard Ito. Dr. Irvin Andre insists that electoral reform is needed in Dominica, but he is apprehensive about what appears to be hidden motives of the DLP administration to manipulate registration of voters overseas, potentially in efforts to maintain an advantage over all contending parties.
That is what is staring Dominica in the face. Some of your listeners may not want to hear it. Some of them may pontificate piously, but let's wait and see what we'll deliver. But the evidence is clear. Because if we were interested in genuine electoral reform, we wouldn't be spending all this money, because we know what it is about. We know what free and fair elections are about. But that is not the goal. The primary focus on this thing is to justify and legitimize the participation of foreign persons in Dominica's electoral process. Make no mistake about it. Those who will be registering these so-called foreign-based Dominicans will do so selectively. They will not express an open invitation to document everybody. That is not the goal. The goal is to represent or to elect, not elect, I'm sorry, to register those who deliver the goods insofar as elections are concerned.
Dr. Andre says, based on the current fragility of Dominica's democratic system, democracy may die in the hands of the current administration.
Once you have such a system, as I said, you can go and ask Bishop Malzay, Archbishop, for a spot in the Rosa Cemetery, because I'm told that the spots are getting scarcer and scarcer. Ask him to reserve a spot for democracy, because it will be dead. And Lazarus died long ago. This is the junction. This is the reality that scares us in the face. And it's just not a matter of voting. This has implications for virtually every component of Dominicans' democracy. Way of life.
Justice Dr. Irvin Andre. Dominica's forestry officers will be making a site visit of the Belfast River on Monday, June 28, 2021 at 10 a.m. in response to the invitation, advocacy and other efforts of the Whitey Kubali Advocate for a Viable Environment, WAVE.
We have invited the forestry department to advise us about accessibility to the river. Okay, as I said earlier in one of your broadcasts, the preschool teacher, she told me every year for World Waters Day, she would take her children, her students, to the river. But she said, today, we have no access. And it's a general complaint from the people, from Jimit, Maho, and so on, who live in the immediate environment of the river. So forestry officers will be coming. We will look how best we can access the river. And we're hoping that, again, we have quite a number of companies. We want to put a program together. But the adoption of the river, you know, there's no company in Dominica that have adopted a river except the Rosalie Bay Resort. They have adopted their Rosalie Berries.
President of the Whitey Kubali Advocate for a Viable Environment, WAVE, Franklin Coffey, says since the beginning of 2021, WAVE has been championing cleaning efforts and restoration efforts of the environment surrounding the Belfast River, as well as protecting the river itself. Top on the agenda of this site visit is to assess the best possible rehabilitation strategy for the Belfast River and how best access can be restored for the general public for recreation and monitoring.
So we are hoping with that site visit on Monday, we have invited the village council, the festival committees of Mau, the scouts, the girl guides, and anybody else who are interested to come and meet. We have, and then we'll approach the authorities to be how they can, first of all, how can we access our river? I can remember after Marie, on both sides of the Belfast River, you had people washing clothes. You had people bathing. It was such a beautiful scene. So we want to make an offer with forestry. What trees or plants can we put in the area to beautify the place?
Yeah.
And if all the companies around, you know, I'm sure they can put a few benches for us to sit or lightings or whatever.
WAVE President Franklin Coffey. This is Q95 News. Pastor Randy Rodney responds to the minister with responsibility for governance, Greta Roberts, who is calling for 3 days of prayer and fasting from 25th to the 27th of June 2021. Pastor Randy Rodney, speaking via telephone interview on this morning's Hot Seat program, said he's not of the view that any government should mandate the church to pray and that the church should not be praying simply because a prime minister says to do so.
And quite frankly, I don't believe any government needs to mandate the church to pray. I don't know what the program is. I have not seen the program, but the minister did say that there'll be prayer 3 times a day on Friday and Saturday, and it will culminate in Thanksgiving. We do not know whether the Thanksgiving or the prayers are at a particular point, or whether it was just asked for churches to do their due in praying. Like I said, we've been praying all the time, and we are not going to just, well, from my personal perspective, we're not praying because the Prime Minister says so, the Minister says so. We're praying because we love our nation, we love our country.
That controversial prayer event is scheduled to kick off from 12 p.m. tomorrow with Evangelist Peter R. Augustine at DBS Radio for the Hour of Prayer, then at 3 p.m. would see Pastor Benjamin on Saturday at 9 a.m. The 1 hour of prayer will be done by Pastor Leroy Hill at 12 p.m., Pastor Thomas, then finally with Pastor Andrew at 3 p.m. Pastor Randy Rodney says he's not surprised that he was not invited to some of their prayer sessions, as the reality of the situation is that one cannot pretend to be calling unity all the while behaving in the exact opposite manner. He says he has never been one to enhance or bolster any political party.
I wasn't invited. Maybe I never expect you to be invited, if, because there are some things that I don't get invited to, and some people have to tell me why I don't get invited to them, and it doesn't bother me really, because I, like I often said, I will do what I believe the Lord wanted me to do. And here's if you operate from Q95. The prayers are, according to the minister, are going to be on media houses. Have you had instructions or requests from the ministry to host the prayer from that platform? So do you understand my concern about dividing the country, but then asking other people to come on board? So in my view, it is not about asking people to come on board. It's about wooing as much support as you can for what you want to do, and without concern and consideration for the other people who may not necessarily agree with you. And so that's how I see it. And I personally, and I keep saying to people that I speak from my personal perspective, I personally do not get involved in enhancing or bolstering political parties. I am one of those who will stand by the scripture, by righteousness, by truth, and by justice, and what God wants me to do.
Pastor and president of the DAEC, Randy Rodney. 8 schools have qualified for the Sports Division Organized Primary Schools Netball Festival quarterfinals to be held on Friday, June 25, 2021. The 8 qualifiers for the quarterfinals are Casa Bruce Primary, Sineku Primary, Roosevelt Douglas Primary, Caleb John Laura Primary, St. John's Primary School, Grand Bay Primary School, the Pebush Benz Primary, and Wills Strathmore Stevens Primary School. Also in sports, 12 primary schools have qualified for the next stage of Primary Schools Cricket Festival. The 2021 Sports Division Organized Primary Schools Cricket Festival reveals the district qualifiers in the North, St. John's Primary and Pebush Primary. Northeast will see Wesley Woodford Hill Primary and the Will Strathmore Stevens Primary School. Southeast, Sansouver Primary and Casabruce Primary. In the South, Grand Bay Primary and Bellevue Chopin Primary. In the East, Sineku Primary and Atkinson Primary School. In the West, Salisbury Primary and Soufriere Primary. The winners and runner-ups from each district festival gained qualification to the main draw of the championship. These 12 schools will now be placed into 3 groups of 4 and will compete using the round-robin format within the groups. This is Q95 News. The fourth quarter financial report of the government's financial position shows that while revenue in Turks and Caicos was higher than projected, the cruise industry is needed for a full economic recovery. The 2020-2021 financial year ended on March 31st, 2021, bringing the curtains down on a very difficult year for the Turks and Caicos Islands, which struggled with the effects of the COVID-19 pandemic. The report, approved for publication at a meeting of cabinet on June 2nd, 2021, presents a summary of the financial results of the TCI government from January 1st to March 31st. It outlines that the government saw a significant fall in revenue as a direct result of the impact of the pandemic on the tourism sector, the largest revenue-generating sector for that country. Factors affecting the economy included increased expenditure in the healthcare sector for COVID-19 testing, building additional bed capacity, obtaining additional respiratory and oxygen-generating equipment, and treating COVID-19 patients. Additional cleaning, sanitization, and personal protective supplies, as well as several stimulus payments, also saw increased government spending. Open quote, "This would have made a significant dent in the healthy cash reserves which the country would have accumulated from the booming tourism sector in the previous 3 years," end of quote, the report reads. and at least one person was killed and several others were injured early on Thursday after a 12-story residential building partially collapsed in southern Florida's Miami-Dade County, authorities confirm. The Miami-Dade Fire Rescue received a call at around 1:30 a.m. local time about a partial collapse of the Champlain Towers South condominium in the small beachside town of Surfside, about 6 miles north of Miami Beach. A massive search and rescue operation was launched before dawn as crews carefully combed through the wreckage and remaining structure for survivors. So far, crews have rescued 35 occupants who were trapped inside the building and 2 others who were located beneath the rubble, according to Miami-Dade Fire Rescue Assistant Chief Ray Jadala.
This is a tweet from Miami-Dade Fire Rescue saying that if you live at the Champlain Towers at 8777 Collins Avenue, please complete a wellness check form as part of Miami-Dade County's efforts to ensure all tenants of the buildings are located. Because keep in mind, we heard earlier today, the building actually didn't take logs of the residents there, but they were keeping logs of the guests. So right now, they're trying to work to figure out all those unaccounted for.
Yeah, just the logistics of this huge, massive search and rescue effort. They got to know who was in each unit, and so that's going to take some time to do. So this will really help to speed along the process. Again, we're going to be sharing this information at NBC6.com, our app, and of course you can just go to the Miami-Dade Fire Twitter page with more information as well. And of course, some of the most telling images of the day coming from the east side of that location, right on the beach, where we could see the debris hanging from a number of apartment complexes.
Yeah, and the most jarring thing out of all was probably the bunk beds, at least for me.
That's the Prime Evening News. Here's a recap of our headlines. Pastor and President of the DAEC, Randy Rodney, says, open quote, "When people get to where they think there is use for prayer without a relationship with God for the purpose of setting up their own agenda, that is frightening," end of quote. Turks and Caicos Islands ends its financial year on a positive cash footing, but government's fourth quarter financial report indicates while revenue was higher than projected, the cruise industry is needed for full economic recovery. And at least one person was killed and several others injured early on Thursday after a 12-story Surfside residential building partially collapsed in southern Florida's Miami-Dade County, authorities confirm. These are our headlines. The news brought to you compliments West Indies Communications Enterprise Limited. I am Richie Ferrall.
Top of the hour news, as it happens.